This podcast is brought to you by the Showtime original series, Yellow Jackets. For those of us who didn't peak in high school, those teenage years were pretty angsty. But nobody had it worse than the Wiskeyoc High Yellow Jackets girls soccer team of 1996. Yellow Jackets, the Emmy-nominated phenomenon that has us all asking, what really happened out there and what wouldn't you do to stay alive, is back for its much-anticipated second season. The team survived a plane crash and a summer stranded in the woods, but winter bites and those girls are hungry. Plus, there might be a dark force in the wilderness compelling them to do some unsavory things. TBD. Meanwhile, 25 years later, the surviving adult Yellow Jackets are grappling with their past while getting caught up in kidnappings, cults, murders, and parenting moody teenagers. Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress star with Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis. The internet is obsessed, and Rotten Tomatoes declared it 100% fresh. So if you haven't watched Yellow Jackets, it's time. New episodes streaming now only on Showtime. And now stream Showtime on Paramount+.
Weddings are a celebration of finding the perfect fit. And with Indochino, you can design a custom suit made to your measurements. Go to INDOCHINO.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any order of $3.99 or more.
Welcome back in. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Ray, the play-by-play voice of the Phoenix Suns, going to join us coming up hour 20 from now at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. A whole lot to do. Last night, fun night in the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We saw two games go to overtime, one game go to double overtime tonight. You got four games once again. My Rangers going to have puck drop coming up in about a few moments as they're in New Jersey up against the Devils. You also have Lightning and Maple Leafs as the Maple Leafs are trying to get out of the first round and win a playoff series for the first time since 2004. You have Jets and Golden Knights, and you have the Kraken going up against the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche as well. And tonight in the association, Hawks and Celtics. I think the Celtics are easily going to win this series. Maybe this goes five games at best. You have Knicks and Cavaliers. Knicks trying to get back to the Garden up 2-0 after their Game 1 victory. Clippers and Suns. Three games in the NBA tonight. Clippers and Suns. That comes your way at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And there's a lot of pressure. We'll get into that later on in this hour on the Phoenix Suns. With you look at the state of that Western Conference, how it looks like it's them and the Nuggets. Those are the two top dogs. Yes, the Kings need to be taken seriously, especially with what they've done to the Golden State Warriors. You had the ridiculousness of Draymond Green last night as well. I know people are going to say, oh, Sabonis grabbed him first. Sure, he did. He grabbed his ankle. You can't dispute that. But there was no need to intentionally stomp on Sabonis if you are Draymond Green, and that is what happened. But for the Suns tonight, they got to get off to a good start, and we'll see if they could do that. If they could tie up this series at one apiece, then it's a whole new series. If it goes down to 0-2, I don't think this series is over. Like, I do think the Golden State Warriors-Kings series is over because the Suns could come back from down 0-2, but it definitely makes it more difficult. And you look at the way the lines are tonight. Like, last night I looked at the gambling lines, and I said, oh, the Kings as a two-point dog, I like the Kings plus 2 points. The line that I actually love tonight, Hickey, I like the Suns laying 7.5 points tonight. I do. I think the Suns are going to win. I think the Suns are going to win big. That is a huge number for a team that's down 0-1 in the series. I think it's Vegas once again looking at that number. Maybe people thinking, oh, yeah, they'll plus the points with the Clippers, even though you think the Suns will win. It won't be by 8 points with no Paul George, Russell Westbrook, even though he made a big threat down the stretch. He was still 3-19 from the field. It really does feel like it's Kawhi and then everybody else on that team. And we all know how great Kawhi is and what he's done, winning two championships in this league, one with Toronto and then two MVPs, but also one with the San Antonio Spurs up against the Miami Heat when LeBron was on the Heat. I do think that this is a rough night for the Clippers tonight and the Suns. That would be my one pick in the NBA. I like them laying 7.5 points. The Boston line of 10 points, I wouldn't touch that. Knicks and Cavs. I do think the Cavs win tonight, Hickey. But I do think that's another close game. I that wouldn't shock me if it's 101-99. I think that was the score of the first game. If that happens again, if I had to place a wager on Knicks-Cavs, I'd like the Cavs to win, but I would take the Knicks plus the 5.5 points. All righty, let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call this segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We talk about the stomp heard around the world. Draymond Green last night gets tangled up with Sabonis. He gets his ankle grabbed on, and Draymond Green then intentionally stomped on Sabonis. Draymond gave his side of the story after the game on why he stepped on Sabonis.
My leg got grabbed. Second time in 2 nights. Referees just watch it. I gotta land my foot somewhere, and I'm not the most flexible person, so it's not stretching that far.
So you didn't really see where you were stepping, you just kind of...
I can only step so far and pulling my leg away, so it is what it is.
Let's hear Draymond Green say the Kings have been holding on to his ankles all series long.
It was Monk last game, right on the baseline under the rim. So either you're gonna stop it, John Goble was looking at Monk hold my leg the last game, and he just let it go. And Zach clearly was watching my leg get held this game and let it go. So I guess ankle grabbing is okay.
It's funny how Draymond Green is always the victim, and he never takes any accountability. Remember last year when fans were chanting F Draymond Green at TD Garden, and then his family was like, oh, it's disgusting, that language. And Klay Thompson said the same thing. Draymond is the heel. Draymond plays that role. You love him if he's on your team. You hate him if he's not on your team. But last night, there's no disputing it. Sabonis grabbed his ankle, but there is a way to break free from that. And when you look at it, and at first I didn't see it, I didn't think it was that egregious, but when you look at the multiple angles, it's very quickly you're able to realize that that was an intentional stomp last night. I'll give credit to the guys that were doing the game last night on the national front, because they called it out right away. They said, oh yeah, Sabonis grabbed the ankle. That's even before they went to the first replay, but Draymond intentionally stomped on Sabonis. Because Hickey, if you're trying to break away and you're as clumsy as Draymond Green says he is, you would kind of just fall or trip over Sabonis. But instead, he picks up his foot and he's not running away. That's not a sprint. He's moving in slow-mo and he clearly stomps on him. So Draymond could say what he wants. I get he's not going to come on out and go, yeah, I intentionally did it, because then maybe the Shams Charania report is different today. And I don't think Draymond should be suspended. But if he comes out and says, I intentionally stomped on someone, then I think the league has no choice in that regard.
So you're saying he would be in trouble if he said he used Sabonis like a human trampoline?
Yes!
Which is exactly what he did.
Yes!
He jumped. He got his money. That's what we'll give Draymond credit. I don't agree with the act. I'm not a Draymond Green fan at all. I hate him. Every time, though, he gets his money's worth.
That's
I hate Draymond Green.
That's a strong word.
Oh, he's polarizing. Either you
polarizing,
love him or you hate him.
But I wouldn't say...
I don't like Draymond Green.
I think there's a difference in saying you love him if he's on your team and you hate him if he's not on your team. And I think that's like said in a different level, in like a little bit of jest as well. Like you actually go to bed at night and you're like, I can't stand this guy. I hate this guy, Draymond Green. That was your thought last night?
It's just classic Draymond Green. It's like, I mean, you hate people in sports. He is one of those, like, you don't, Draymond Green is not one of those people that you're, I don't have a feeling towards either way. Again, you either love him or you don't like him.
I'm more amused at the actions and the consistency of the actions. And it's like, it doesn't surprise me anymore, but it's always like, wow, just when you think you're getting through this series and not a lot of drama, something else pops up. And it's always to the center of attention is always Draymond Green.
And which is why I give him credit. Anytime he's in the center of attention or embroiled in a controversy, he gets his money's worth. There's no cheapies with Draymond Green. If you're going to stomp on Sabonis, it's going to be a full stomp. Let me launch off him. Let me kick LeBron in the groin. He's no half-assed with Draymond, that's for sure.
Mark Spears, you saw this after the game. Warriors star Draymond Green asked for an X-ray on his right ankle after the Game 2 loss to the host Kings after feeling soreness. Sources confirm to ESPN. Sources add Green believes the injury came when Kings star Domantas Sabonis grabbed his ankle before the stomp.
This is what I'm talking about. His commitment to the bit.
By the way, his ankle hurt so much that he was still able to stomp on someone, right? Give me a break.
Well, if you're Draymond, you need something, right?
Give me a break. I would have loved for them to actually give him an X-ray. Notice the word, for, the wording from Mark Spears. He asked for an X-ray. Then the Warriors were like, shut up. Probably like, go away.
That ankle looked pretty good when he was stomping on Sabonis' chest.
Yeah, I said this earlier. I'll say it again. The X-ray came back positive. Full of crap in that ankle. Come on. Oh, yeah. My ankle. I have to get an X-ray. You're right. It is a great commitment to the bit. But what a bunch of load of crap that is. I need an X-ray. It's actually kind of funny. It's very funny. Draymond Green should quit basketball. He's already won enough. Made enough money. Like, opt out. Your contract's done at the end of the year. And go join WWE. He'd be a great wrestler. WWE wrestler.
He'd be a great heel. He's used to being hated, being yelled at. He could get the fans going, entice them easily.
And he did a little Hulk Hogan last night with the ear wave and all that. And then did you see the Walmart version of Hulk Hogan that was given in the middle fingers in the stands? Guy looked like a cheap version of Hulk Hogan.
You know what I don't understand is why TV cameras continually to close up in his face?
Oh, because it's great.
But you see, it's always at the moment when he's cursing at fans.
Yeah.
He said a word I will not say in the radio yesterday.
P
talking
word,
to
right?
Kings fans, yes.
Yeah.
It happened like a few,
wait, but
like
what
a
about
month
the
ago.
Children? What about the language that the Warriors were bitching about last year?
He was in a fight with someone and they zoomed in on me. I think he dropped an F-bomb. Like,
shocker.
They always zoom in on the worst times for Draymond when he's saying stuff he should not be saying.
But if the fan goes to the game and is like, F Draymond! F Draymond! There's nothing to beat. It's all of a sudden, oh, they're horrible people. But when Draymond is cursed at fans, it's no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. By the way, I'm getting distracted already with this Rangers-Devils game. You don't need to play the sound, there's no goal. But I think the Rangers just took a penalty. It's tough to kind of concentrate when you're doing a show and then you are watching your team in the playoffs as well. Not easy, Hickey.
No, it is not.
That's
not
why I sometimes know when you zoned out on this show when your teams are playing.
Well, thankfully for you, I don't have many teams that make deep playoff runs. So, and thankfully for the audience, not much distractions.
Yeah. Sabonis says Draymond had no excuse to stomp on him.
I love the competition. I love the playoffs. You know, the challenge I'm taking on the Warriors. I got hit earlier in the game in the jaw there. So when I fell, I was kind of protecting myself. And then obviously the incident happened. And I feel like there's no room for that in our game today.
Sabonis says he wasn't trying to grab Draymond's ankle. Okay.
No, it's the playoffs. A lot of things happen. But at that point, I get pushed. I'm falling on the floor. I'm just trying to protect myself, and then whatever happened, happened.
Just like how I don't expect Draymond Green to admit that he intentionally stomped on Sabonis, I don't expect Sabonis either to admit that he intentionally grabbed Draymond's ankle. But he absolutely did. That, like, both actions were wrong. But the Draymond act was just egregious. Because even if someone's grabbing on your ankle, you don't stomp on them intentionally. And that's what Draymond Green did. De'Aaron Fox, who's been a stud, says Draymond stomping on Sabonis is inexcusable.
Going against him and some guys in this league, that it's going to get physical, obviously, that shouldn't happen. But at the end of the day, we're protecting our teammate. That is what it is at the end of the day.
Let's hear from Mike Brown on the Draymond Green stomp.
I didn't see what he did afterwards, but for sure, it's a flagrant two for sure. And it'd be interesting to see what the NBA does after they review it. But I didn't see the aftermath.
And according to Shams Charania, unlikely that Draymond Green is going to be suspended. This also puts Mike Brown in a tough spot. Because he knows that Warriors team as good as anybody. And I'm sure he likes Draymond. But you got to go to bat for your guys. But kind of expected what a coach is going to say. Basically say nothing, not to give the other team ammunition in the series.
I mean, look, I don't know what play Draymond is talking about in game one with Malik Monk.
Yeah.
But you wonder, maybe Mike Brown said, hey, you want to get under Draymond? Like, let's have the teapot boil in the wrong direction and hurt the Warriors more than help them. Fellas, I know the key.
But bad scouting report by Mike Brown. Because Mike Brown probably said, wear a helmet when you grab his ankle because he may go punch you in the mouth, punch you in the face, punch you in the chest. He didn't tell them to put a chest protector on, though, when you expected a stomp.
Probably told them to wear a cup. So I mean, they're protected for the groin kick. They were ready for the chest stomp. Come out in catcher's gear on for game three.
Yeah, you have a helmet and you have a cup on. Maybe you want to wear a chest protector, too, as well. Is that Mike Piazza on the court? Oh, no.
Draymond always changing it up.
Here's Klay Thompson saying Sabonis made a dirty play in grabbing Draymond's foot.
What are you going to do when someone grabs your foot when you're running full speed? Like, that's a dirty... fully grabs your foot and yanks on you? That's not cool, man. I'm not saying what Draymond did was right, but, like, you can't just grab somebody's foot when they're taking off in a full sprint. That's not cool. I don't do that. Like, that's crazy.
Now, Hickey, I'm not an expert in a full sprint, but you're in shape. I'm sure you've run quite a few 40s with your illustrious football career that you've had. And it looked like Draymond Green last night was in a full sprint whatsoever.
Well, no, because he couldn't, because his leg was taken.
Mm-hmm.
He was about to, but couldn't run.
Even when he was starting to get free, it didn't even look like he was trying to fully sprint anyway. He was moving in slow-mo, and the guy stomped on his chest.
When you're using the same foot that was grabbed on a stomp on someone, then yes, you're not trying to run at that point. You're trying to get revenge.
He knew what he was doing.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
He 100% knew what he was doing. And there is a way to break free from that, and he elected to just take it to the next level. Here's DeMar Hamlin, who today said he is returning to the NFL to eventually play once again.
Over these last few months, I've been on a journey, and I've seen, you know, some of the top professionals across the country, and their answers to me were pretty much all the same. They were the same. And this event was life-changing, but it's not the end of my story. So I'm here to announce that I plan on making a comeback to the NFL.
We've been on the radio for some serious events. What we saw transpire in Cincinnati that night, that was extremely scary. And we all thought the worst. And it was crazy how quickly DeMar Hamlin, in the aftermath, was able to wake up and then leave the hospital as well and eventually, like, go back to the stadium for a game or talk to his teammates. And now that he's even able, and we've seen him get honored at a bunch of places as well in this offseason so far, but the fact that he's even allowed to think about going back to the NFL one day, it's kind of crazy, Hickey, with what happened that night that we're at this point.
Without a doubt. And honestly, I thought that this process would take, frankly, years almost. When you talk about how violent the sport is, how, again, close to death he was, that it's shocking that he could be back as soon as this season.
And not only that, we all assumed the worst that night. Like, you weren't human if you didn't think there was a chance that he died on the field. He had to get resuscitated on the field. And for him to even be able to say that he's going to be able to play again, it's crazy. Here's Brandon Bean saying DeMar Hamlin is a full go moving forward.
He is cleared, resumed full activities, just like anyone else who was coming back from an injury or whatever. So he's fully cleared. He's here, and he is of the mindset. He's in a great headspace to come back and make his return.
It's just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, he's allowed to do whatever he wants, and if he wants to play, I understand why you would want. I am a little bit surprised that he does want to go forward with this, because he talked about wanting to be an inspiration, and you can still be an inspiration on the field. I thought maybe that he would just go be like a motivational speaker, you know, and be someone that writes a book and things like that. I'd probably do all that. But, like, there was a part of me, and I always know if you leave it in the player's hands, he's going to want to play once he gets cleared. But there was a part of me that is surprised that with what he went through, because mentally you probably have to overcome a lot. And it seems like he's in a great place where you get back on the field and you're just not constantly thinking about that. So we'll see what happens, but clearly rooting and pulling for DeMar Hamlin. And finally, Scott Fitter of the Panthers GM says the Panthers are still considering all four quarterbacks with the number one pick.
No, again, that's part of that continuous process. We are consciously trying to you know, keep all four in there so we can ask every question, look at it from every angle to make sure we're making the right decision. This is a big decision for the organization. We don't want to lock on to something early on just to decide that's our guy. We want to keep this process open all the way through.
With that said, Scott, we saw yesterday that Bryce canceled his last visit.
Yeah.
Has there been communication to him that he's the pick?
No, there has not. And, you know, that was a decision he made on his own.
Do you believe that? There's no way that I actually believe. I'm not talking about the Bryce Young part, because that, I guess, is up for debate. Maybe they haven't informed who they're picking yet. But I don't believe that they're still considering all four quarterbacks. I don't think they were really ever seriously considering all four quarterbacks. Like, I don't believe Will Levis ever under serious consideration for the number one pick. I do think Anthony Richardson was a conversation, but the choice has been between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and it does feel like Bryce Young is going to be the number one overall pick. I would think at this point, whether they told the player or not, they know in that building, at least Scott Fitterer and David Tepper and Frank Reich, that trio, that trifecta on who they're going to pick, and I believe it to be Bryce Young.
Without a doubt, total agree. And if we're both wrong somehow, that is a major red flag and a major scare.
What do you mean?
If you don't know at this point.
Oh, you're saying if they don't know.
If the Panthers
don't
know.
Sorry, I thought you meant the Bryce Young part about it.
And are sitting there saying, oh boy, like.
Yeah.
We're split. You want him.
What were
you doing
the last few months?
Right. We're 9 days away? Come on.
Yeah. By the way, during the DeMar Hamlin cuts and the serious nature of that, I didn't want to play the sounder of, oh, Zach's getting distracted by the Rangers game. But the Rangers did score. So, there we go. How about that, Hickey? Tarasenko.
Take that, Jersey.
Let's not get crazy yet. I don't need you doing any smack talking, all right?
Long way to go. Yeah, I didn't say anything.
I don't need no
Rangers
Hickey
in seven. That's all I'm going to say.
Stop.
Long way to go.
I want you to pick them to lose. I don't need the Hickey Hex. We're on the same team here.
No Hex.
We're
no
actually fighting
here.
Each other. We're on the same team. I don't need you getting overconfident like last year when you said, when they're up 2-0, get the Canyon of Heroes ready for the parade. When they're up 2-0 in the conference finals, they didn't win another game since after that. I don't need that here, all right? Be negative. I need you to be negative. Usually when you're negative about something, positive things happen. Just talking about you, not in life in general. It is the Zach Kelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Kelb Show.
Zach Kelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So earlier on in the program, we compiled the list. We did a draft. I got five selections. Hickey got five selections. And we knew that the first three each were going to be fairly easy. It was just going to be what's the order that comes off the board in terms of quarterbacks that don't have a ring that are actively in the NFL that will hoist the Lombardi Trophy first. My first three were Burrow, Allen, Herbert in the draft. I had the first pick. Hickey then, and we're going back and forth, had Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, and Lamar Jackson as well. And then the fourth and fifth spots, they were difficult. So let's go out to the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Ryan in California wants to jump into the conversation and give a name. Ryan, go ahead.
Zach Wasabi from Cali. I can't believe you guys would not have my boys, the Niners, in there and Brock Purdy coming back with his performance. In the top five? Come on, you guys are tripping. You put in Dak Prescott?
No, that's what? Not true. We didn't put Dak Prescott in.
Okay,
Ryan, wait a second. Hickey took Trey Lance. It's not like he disregarded the 49ers, and I thought that was stupid.
Trey Lance isn't even going to have a job. He's out of here. John Lynch says his job, it's Purdy to lose.
Sure, and we don't even know if Purdy's going to be healthy.
Crazy.
Wait, how am I crazy? Are you hanging out with our guy Romanowski, who said that he's going to be the next Joe Montana for the next 20 years?
Jackie.
It was nine games. I thought what Brock Purdy did was awesome.
And how were all those nine games?
They won. Yeah, I get that. But come on, after nine games, you're ready to say he's going to go win a Super Bowl?
And then, you know what? And then the pickup we got from Philly and our O-line and our D-line. So you're saying, oh,
the team
the
is
Niners
wonderful.
The contender.
The team is wonderful. We all know that. But until they solidify their quarterback position, which I can't say they've solidified that yet, I don't think they win a Super Bowl until we figure out who the guy is at quarterback. And right now, we don't know if Brock Purdy's going to be there game one.
Gosh. Okay, and then second.
You get a second point after after the way that you've conducted yourself and embarrassed yourself in the first point? You know what? I will. Go ahead. I'm in a benevolent mood today. The Rangers are up 2-0. So go ahead. Go run your fat mouth some more. Let's go.
Okay. So, and my boy Draymond, that...
Oh, you can't say that? Come on, Ryan. See, Hickey, we got a little greedy right there. I was stupid. I was the bad captain of the ship, and Ack is pointing at me, the radio veteran of the world.
That's on you.
That is on me.
That's on you.
His first point was good little back and forth. I said, okay, the pigs in the blanket were fine. They were really good. It's impossible to mess up a pig in a blanket. And the second appetizers came out, and they may as well have been marinated in mushrooms, and I'm allergic to mushrooms, so that's what happened there.
Take your punishment.
Yeah, that's a bad job out of me.
Good job accountability.
And that was the first time we've had a curse on this show since Hickey did so a few weeks ago. When Hickey dropped an F-bomb talking about Russell Westbrook.
Hickey, shame on you.
Yeah.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
We're on the same size today. You gave me a compliment, Ack.
That doesn't mean you weren't wrong a couple of weeks ago.
I'm not saying I was in the right. I didn't say curse on the air is the right thing to do.
Ack, by the way, you're a radio professional.
Yes, I'm also old.
What do you think about radio hosts who burp on the air?
Oh, you can't do that.
Okay.
That's disgusting.
Hickey burped on the air.
Again, Hickey?
That's a few weeks ago.
He curses and burps?
Did you hear the burp?
Hickey, I thought you were brought up a well-mannered kid.
It was one time. It was an accident. It wasn't on purpose. I own the accident. I just mentally blocked out and also physically turned the
button off. These things you're owning, you could be a millionaire right now.
Well, that's also true. If only those right. If only I was owning actual real money instead of owning mistakes.
I don't know. The thing I would disagree with that on is, and I get the expression, but something that I think you make a lot of money off of. I think a lot of these are embarrassing. It's a degenerate level, if we're being fair. Well, I think Hickey's looking like the guy that when you walk into the store is asking for change at this point with all these infractions.
The only thing he's going to be owning if he keeps this up is a pink slip.
Yeah. I'll go suspension.
I don't think you get those out anymore. I think it's all digital now. You get an email. You're fired. No pink slips anymore.
You think you're getting an email if you get fired from this place?
they would do bad by the book. You'd be okay.
Yeah. I think they'd call you into the office.
Yes.
I thought they just would not have my key card work and then all of a sudden give me a call.
For you?
By the way, you're fired.
Possibility. You may be like Jamal Adams. Remember when he walked into the Jets facility and it just was like the key card wasn't working? That could be you one day. You get to the front desk and you may have to do the little subway trick when someone doesn't want to pay for the subway. You may have to jump over the barricade.
Never a good feeling, though, when the email doesn't work. And you're you're relieved when you find out the company email's down.
Well, let's be real. The company email here is, let's say, it's not the most reliable thing.
Am I fired? Should I be waiting for Spike to call? You know?
If that's the case, then I can get fired every other day. Yeah. Let's be real. By the way, you up to date on your training modules?
My training? Oh, yeah. I just did one the other day.
Yeah. So I did one, and I thought I was done with it.
I thought you meant, workout.
No.
No, I can't keep coming.
Yeah. It said I didn't do 7 or 8 of them, so yeah. I got to bang those out tonight.
There you go.
And by the way, you've been working out lately these days?
No.
No?
No.
I remember the famous story of the late, great Regis Philbin. That's how ACT became close, because you guys were working out at the same gym.
Well, he was. I wasn't. But,
Were you just there? You mopping the floors?
Yeah, hanging out.
Okay. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Folks, basically for the next 2 months, if it goes that long, the mood of this show will be dictated with the results of our hockey team. And I am a Ranger fan. Hickey's a Ranger fan. Ack is a mega Rangers fan. And this game is far from over, but they're up 2-0. So I think we're all having a good time right now. We're all laughing and exchanging jokes. When Ack stops talking and Hickey looks like he just saw a ghost and it says a blank stare, that's when... then the program goes right off the rails.
There you go.
Sometimes it goes off the rails when Hickey just belches on the radio or drops an F-bomb or that last caller drops a bold bleep.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So let me give you one more takeaway from last night in the association. We'll delve back into this Draymond Green stuff coming up later. I'm not done with the Draymond conversation, but I just want to give one non Draymond Point from the NBA last night. By the way, the poll question, we'll give you some updates on that right now. Should the Warriors want Draymond Green back on their team next year? He does have an opt-out clause at the end of the year. 67.3% say no. 32.7% say yes. But Hickey, last night, watching hoops, and there was only two games on last night, the atmosphere in Sacramento, just from television, was great. There was times where you could barely even hear Ian Eagle when you were listening to the game early on. I mean, you're watching the game early on. Fox continues to be great. The Warriors are in serious trouble. I don't think they could come back and win this series with how great the Kings are on the road as well, having the second most road wins this season in the NBA. But when you look at that Nets-Sixers series, we all know the Sixers are going to win this series. The playoffs for the Sixers don't start until the second round, when in all likelihood they'll be going up against the Boston Celtics. But when you look at the Sixers from last night, even in a win, it was not an encouraging effort. Because in game one, Harden was great. But it's also up against the Nets. In game two, though, up against the same team in the Nets, that's why, even with the MVP of the league, people just don't believe in Philadelphia. Before you even get to Doc Rivers, who has won a championship, but he has blown a lot of leads in the playoffs, before you get into the questions about Doc, it's just the construction of this team. Yeah, Maxey was great last night, but you know Maxey isn't designed to be your second best player in the construction of this roster. He may be, in the playoffs, your second best player, and he had a great performance in game two with 33 points, 6 of 13 from 3, 13 of 23 from the field. But James Harden last night shows you why you can't, even in a win, trust the Sixers when you go up against big boy competition down the road, and the Nets aren't that, because you need Harden to be your finisher. You need Harden to be your closer. And he had 8 points last night, 3 of 13 from the field, 2 of 8 from three. I get it. Everyone's entitled to a bad night. But in how much frequency we've seen James Harden just not show up and deliver the goods in the postseason, when you look back at Houston, and you really can't count what happened in Brooklyn because he had the hamstring injury and all that, but you've seen some of the shortcomings in his career, it's like that's what you just expect. You expect more. Like, if I ask you the rest of the postseason, when the competition gets better, do you see more game one Harden or game two Harden? I'm not saying it's going to look that bad each and every night when it's only 8 points. He's had some bad shooting nights, but at least he still gets like 17, 18 points. I would say, though, it's more of the feeling like game two Harden than it is game one Harden, when game one Harden was great and game two Harden has been what he usually is in the postseason.
Without a doubt, because even when with the Rockets, when he was scoring it, and box score-wise, wow, he'd have 30 points.
Did nothing in the fourth.
But he'd be 5 of 25 shooting from the field, be super inefficient. And like I said, some of those points would come when the game's already decided. When you need a basket, when you need a big game from James Harden, there's no reason to believe he can come through and give you one, let alone three in a series to help elevate you past a team in the Celtics in round two, because like I said, they're going to get past the Nets that are clearly better than you. You're going to need James Harden to be that A, you know, if Joel Embiid is a one, you're going to need him to be that A1 or 1A player. No way that James Harden can be that way.
It's at this point, if you're rooting for it to be different, I think you're just lying to yourself. Like, if you think it's going to be different, I think you're just lying to yourself at this point. Like, I get it. Sixers fans, you got to root for your team. You got nothing else to do but support your squad. But I do believe with how much of a push Sixers fans have made for the MVP this year for Joel Embiid, they kind of know that that's their championship this year. Because even in an Eastern Conference where you look around, there's only two teams that I think can get to the NBA Finals. That's Milwaukee and Boston. But then the Sixers are that third team. And if you have a third, if you're a third seed in any conference, you would usually think you have a shot to get to the Finals. I just don't see how consistently the Sixers, even if they were to beat the Celtics, I don't think they would then go beat, let's say, Milwaukee, assuming Milwaukee gets through the Heat and then gets through the winner of Cleveland and New York. Because you're playing with fire when you're relying heavily in the postseason in a big amount of minutes on James Harden. Now, for a reaction tonight, and the games are just very early underway, When you look at Celtics and Hawks, there's about 5 minutes left in the first half. The Celtics, who got off to a little bit of a slow start, are now up 48-42. And the Knicks and Cavs are just underway, about 7 minutes to go here in the first quarter. Knicks are up 12-6. Knicks have a 1-0 series lead in this battle. And I do think it's good. I think Cleveland wins tonight, but I do think it's another close, grinded out type of game. But when you look at the Clippers and the Suns, it's clear. All eyes, all attention tonight are on the Suns. And really, Hickey, the start of the Suns tonight. Because I don't know how you start off a postseason series when expectations are to get to the NBA Finals this year for the Suns. And you have such a talent advantage over the Clippers, especially with the Clippers not having Paul George. And I know they still have Kawhi Leonard. And we know Russell Westbrook could still go 3 of 19 from the field to make an impact on the game. But when you look at the Suns, when you have Kevin Durant, you have Devin Booker, you have Chris Paul, and you also have DeAndre Ayton, just for starters. I don't get how that team, coming off, even though Durant wasn't there, the embarrassing postseason performance of a year ago up against the Mavs in round two, and the regular season really didn't mean much for them this year. And then when you get Durant, Durant gets hurt. You don't really get to gel with Durant. It's inconceivable to me, Hickey, how flat the Suns were in game one out of the gate, where, let me remind you, you're at home. It's not like the intensity wasn't there, the environment wasn't there. It's a home game. And it's weird to me how flat the Suns were right out of the gate up against the Clippers in that game one. And I look tonight, obviously, they got to win the game. And you take it any way that the game plays out if you do win. But the Suns have a lot to show me early in this contest. Usually, right, you could just say, I'll turn the last 5 minutes of a basketball game, and then they'll tell you everything you need to know. But I want to see how motivated the Suns are tonight, because not that I was... I don't want to say discouraged, because then it makes you think that I actually believe that the Clippers could win the series. I think the Suns are winning the series. Even if they go down 0-2, yeah, it makes you raise an eyebrow, but I still think they're capable of coming on back and winning the series. But I did not love their effort early on, and I didn't like how flat they were early on up against the Clippers in game one at the Footprint Center.
For me, it's even more concerning how they finished the game. Not excusing it, because you're right. But when you come out flat, we've seen plenty of teams come out flat. I mean, the Sixers, just we were talking about them last night. They were terrible in the first half. Doc Rivers lit a fire under their ass, and then they eventually pulled away from the Nets. But that first quarter, Kevin Durant didn't score. They looked very flat, lethargic. And then the third quarter, I believe it was a 15-0 run. I think that's the number. They went on to take a 9-point lead. And you think, okay, here they come. The Suns are finally here. Rough first half, but now at least they're clicking. And then as soon as that happened, the Clippers had an answer every time. And the Suns could never again put a run together to put them away. Even when they got behind, could not get a playoff at the end to tie or take the lead. And so you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant, and it's really by himself on offense, Kawhi Leonard doing all the scoring, and you can't match that? That to me is more concerning with when you kind of got finally in rhythm, you still couldn't outscore really the only man that was scoring for the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard.
And it's a fair point that you bring up, because you look at how many times in the NBA do you watch a game, and you see a team that is so much better than one team early on, and it's like a 15-point deficit, and eventually the other team gets a run to get it to five, and then eventually ties it up, maybe takes a lead. Once that game was in doubt in terms of who was going to win in the last few moments, I thought the Suns were going to win. I did. I thought the Suns were going to win. Okay, you survived the slow start. You got back in the game. Here we go. You're the more talented team. I get it. Kawhi Leonard, when he plays, is a force in the postseason. He's a great finisher in the postseason. You saw him dominate up against the Heat when they had LeBron. You saw him basically in an era of dynamic duos or super teams. You saw him basically as the only great player on that team win a championship, the only superstar player on that team win a championship in Toronto. So even with all those things being said, you then lose a game. Not because the other team was like that much better on their offensive approach. It was because they got out-hustled. And that, to me, is what I didn't like as well, because you look how flat they were and how they got hit in the mouth up against the Mavs at the end of that series, and it was just embarrassing. all year long, it doesn't matter what you do. It all comes down to what you're going to do in the postseason. And you get a chance where you don't even play your best to still go win the game. And you got Russell Westbrook, who's going 3 of 19 from the field. But getting rebounds, hustling, even after he makes misses a three, they still find the way to get the ball back at the end of the game with the block. And he makes sure he gets the ball. I believe it was off Booker at the end. And really, like, Russ made those two free throws. Like, even as great as Kawhi Leonard was, you look down the stretch, it was, you got out-hustled by Russ. And that is a fair point to my initial point, where they were flat early. Then you think they're getting through this, and they're about to go win the game. And then, uh-oh, they were flat once again. Like, I'm not concerned that the Suns don't win the series. I still think they're going to win the series. But I got to see a well-rounded effort tonight, and I do think we'll get that well-rounded effort because you look at that spread, you see like 7.5 points. The Suns are favorite. They probably shouldn't be a 7.5-point favorite, but I think that's Vegas begging you to plus the points tonight in the Clippers. I would lay it with the Suns. Kevin Ray, the TV play-by-play man for the Suns, going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes from now. When we come on back, you got one current Bills player providing some updates to give you maybe the thinking of what's going through the mind of DeAndre Hopkins.